Okay, the beginning of the parsha, v'yikchu li teruma. They will take for me a truma. Hashem says, speak to Bnei Yisrael, and they will take for me a truma. Now, what's the li for me? So this Rashi says, li lishmi. Others say the girsa should be Mishali, but whatever. I'm going to leave that for now. We'll see what the Midrash wants to tell us. The word li seems to be extra. Vasu li mikdash v'shachanti b'soicham. What's that li? They'll make for me a sanctuary. I mean, for who else are we making it? Of course, vasu mikdash. They'll make a mikdash. And then Hashem says, v'shachanti b'soicham. I'll dwell in their midst. What is the li? So that's the first basic question here. And as always, we're going to take a little bit of a circuitous route to get there. Now, here, the Midrash begins with a famous pasuk, which I think we recited as recently as today. Ki lekach tov nasati lochem, torasi al tazovu. Hashem tells us, for a good deal I gave for you, my Torah you shall not forsake. Now, what does it mean? And what's the al ta'azovu? I gave you a good deal. It's a mekach. You bought it already. What does it mean? Don't forsake it. Don't leave it. It's a deal. What's there not to leave? So the addition here is al ta'azovu es hamikach shenasati lochem. Don't forsake the sale that I gave to you. Now, what would be forsaking that sale of the Torah? Why would that be? How would that be? How would one forsake the Torah? How would that be manifest? And what would there be to forsake? So the Midrash continues, Yesh lecha adam shelokeach mikach. Sometimes there is a person who buys some merchandise. You needed something, or there was something inherently valuable in your sale, but it wasn't perfect. No sale has everything. You buy a suit, you don't have a hat. You buy a hat, you don't have a suit. You don't have a pair of shoes. Right? No sale includes everything. So yesh bo kesef ein bo zahav. It might have silver, but it doesn't have gold. You gain in one area of value, but another area is not there, is just not there. Avol yeshbo zahav ein bo kesef. I'm sorry, I should have said that first. There's gold, but there isn't silver. Which is, gold is more valuable than silver. So the Midrash maybe means, at first shot, it has gold but not silver. Even though gold is more valuable, there's still something inherent in silver that isn't in gold. So your golden sale and that value that you have is still missing something. And sometimes it's of a smaller value to begin with. It's silver and not gold. Avla mikach shenasati lochem yesh boi kesef. However, the sale that I gave over for you, the merchandise, as it were, that I'm giving you, the Torah has silver. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Amoros imrois Hashem, Amoros tohiros kesef tzoruf. The sayings of God are pure sayings that are of refined silver. Now, the sayings of God, obviously, is Torah. And it's referred to as silver, refined silver, no ore, no dross. Yesh bo zahav, this mekach, the sale that Hashem gave us of Torah, also has gold in it. Shenemar, as it says, hanechmadim mizahav, going on the words of Torah, we recite this in the Psukei Dezimra of the Shabbos and the Yom Tov, that those which are more beloved than gold, Umi Pasrov, and Pas is a higher grade of gold, and it's greater than Pas. So Torah is described in terms of being analogous to silver and gold. As to what these analogies are, there are various homiletical explanations, but now I'm not going to say, but Marzav says something that isn't really Biderech Drash. He says something Biderech Pshat here. And he says that gold is good as to store, but it's not necessarily good for expenditures all the time. It's very valuable, and it was kept in storage, so that at that time, it means you have something to fall back on. Like today, many people also feel that because of the value of gold, and gold won't be affected by the market, they invest in gold. But it's more for investment purposes, or storage. Otsar is also, in a way, a form of investing and keeping something preserved so that you're backed up with strength. And kesef, he says, silver is tov lahotzah, that's already good for expenditure. So he says the Marzav, the Torah is the same. Parts of it are for storage in learning, to have what might be esoteric or less applicable in our everyday life. And then part of it, the kesef, the silver part, is for expenses. That's what we need for practical halacha. Halachas, we have to know certain aspects of musar, of behavior, that we have to know. That in that way, Torah is analogous to silver. And as far as basic, intrinsic value, even if it's not to be applied in everyday life, in that regard, Torah is a treasure like gold. Also, he gives another example. Yesh Adam, sometimes there's a person that lokeach sodos avalo kromim. He'll purchase fields, but he's not going to purchase vineyards. He's not into the wine line. He doesn't want to purchase a vineyard. But kromim velo sodos. Sometimes somebody will purchase a vineyards and not fields. Everyone's different. Now, at that time, wine wasn't necessarily as expensive. And fields, also the Marzav explains, is for grain, to grow grain, to have bread, which was the main food staple. And vineyards represent wine and oil, that is more for indulgence. So he says, the Torah is the same. Parts of the Torah one needs in order to live, to do the basics that are the basic requirements to live in. And part of Torah is beyond that. It's like taking a nice, pleasurable walk and enjoying oneself, taking a walk in the vineyard and taking in its fragrance and bringing joy to one's self. So those are the analogies of fields of grain and vineyards. So sometimes you'll buy a field for your basic necessity, for your staples, but you're not going to get something that might be for indulgence. Sometimes when I want to purchase a little real estate for indulgent purposes, as represented by kromim, I'll purchase kromim, but not sodas, not fields. That's not what I'm looking for. Avala mikach hazeh, however, this sale of Torah has it all. Yesh bo sodes v'yesh bo kromim. It has fields and it has vineyards. It has it all. Yeah, so as it says in Posuk in Shir HaShirim, Shlochayich pardes rimonim. that your shlachayich is a beis hashalchin, that we know from Mishnah, a beis hashalchin or beis hashlachin in Moed Kotten and in Bava Basra and some other places. A beis hashlachin is a field that constantly has to be irrigated. It does not have in it a strong enough independent wellspring. It has to rely on irrigation. But even what you have as shlochayich, as a limited field that needs outside irrigation, it's still pardes rimonim. It is an orchard, and usually the word orchard very often refers to a vineyard. That's that Rashi brings in different places. So the orchard also represents fields where trees grow, and so it's a pardes of pomegranates. Now, really, a kerem is not always, says the Radal here, a pardes, but although sometimes pardes is really a kerem, is a vineyard, this is what the Radal says, although I said something that might be a little bit different. But over here, the seil of the Torah has the basic staples that we need, and it has what we indulge in, what we have for indulgence. Now, what I have a comment here that I once wrote on the Midrash, that the two analogies, one analogy is to the precious metals, to silver and gold. The other analogy is to fields. So I said that what the difference between the two analogies is, the silver and gold are definitions of the intrinsic significance, the intrinsic value of Torah. And the essence of the Torah is described as something that is gold or silver. However, Torah, besides the essence of the Torah, has those who are into coming up with their own novel explanations, be it in Drush, in Halacha, in whatever field of Torah, know there is what we call the Koyach HaYetzira. There is the ability, the capacity of producing in Torah, being able to take the knowledge of Torah, knowing how to analyze it in whatever derech, whatever form one has, until basically one comes up with their own interpretations, or at least interpretations that they thought up of on their own. And that already, I suggested, might be what the pardes and what the sodas are about. That you're growing things, that represents production. There's production in understanding on a more basic level, that's also a form of chiddush. And there's also a yitzira, and there's a form of understanding and producing in a more colorful way, in a deeper way, in a more sophisticated way, for lack of a better term, in a more sharp way that stands out, that brings a lot of enjoyment to those who hear it. There are certain chidushim that were, especially in the yeshivas, very often that were meant to just drill in what the real meaning is. And then you have interpretations that go beyond. It'll have a pilpul, it'll connect things that seem that they're not connected, or it'll come out with a novel way of looking at something that people legitimately looked at in a more simple way and a correct way, but it brings it out even better. Or it brings out elements or new aspects that others didn't feel of. So that's maybe what the pardes is all about. Okay, now we have something else that he's going to say about the lekach tov, the good sail that is the Torah. So he says, yesh lecha adam, you have a person, lokeach mikach, he buys a sail, uvnei adam einem yodem mahu. People don't know, what did I buy? I mean, they see it, but they don't know what I saw in this item that I bought it. Now, they wonder, what did I buy? Why this? What usefulness will it have? what is so significant about it. So people are looking, and they don't know really why I bought it. And I'm not telling them. However, how could they find out? What really proves the value? Even if I tell them, I might say something that in their mind doesn't make sense. You know, he went overboard. It's really not that. But there is a way of figuring out the intrinsic value of something. How? Aval mischar hasirsur nisvada malokach. From the wage or the commission of the middleman, then you can know the value of what was bought. It was something that had to be negotiated in the right way. A proper sale had to be done. The middleman maybe was the one who brought about the sale, who induced the entire effort to make that sale and to actually do the sale. From his wage, we can already see what his going wage is, indicates what the value of the object is. Kach, the same is with Torah. Ein adam yedea mahi. No one really knows what Torah is. We can learn it all our lives. We can be the Gron, Reb Akiva Eiger put together. And we still, or any other great gedolim you want to mention of any time, and we still don't know what it is. So we're so far from really getting down to what Torah is in its full sense. No one has that. Ella, we can have a concept, Mischar Shelokach Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu had a certain wage that was somewhat reminiscent of the wage of a middleman. Moshe received the Torah, gave it over to Bnei Yisrael. V'sos haTorah asher nasan Moshe lifnei Bnei Yisrael. Right. Moshe gave it to us, and the Midrash in Devarim tells us that he was analogous to a sirsur, to a middleman. Now, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's pay as a middleman? So shenemar, it's at the end of Parshas Kisisa, uMoshe lo yada ki koron or panov bedabroito. Moshe did not realize that the skin of his face had shone like a halo when Hashem spoke directly to him. So the reward over here, the remuneration of Moshe as a middleman after Matan Torah, was inherent in him. It was more than anything that you buy, but it told us what Torah is, how Torah brings a certain spiritual greatness, imbibes it in the person. And that tells us what Torah is. It might not tell us how much it's worth in gold and silver or even in dollars and cents on an uninflated market. But what it will tell us is what Torah gives the person. The Kedusha it gives the person, the purity, the Tahara it gives the person. That we can know. Now, there's another sale that is different than most sales. Now, let's say I own this table, and someone comes to me and buys the table. They pay me, we shake hands, we do whatever we have to do to make it an absolute legal sale. And then, goodbye, it's your table in your house or in your villa or whatever. Has nothing to do with me anymore. I'm the seller, but I'm gone. But there is a sale, shemisha mechoro nimkarimo. Sometimes we have a sale that the one who sells the object is sold with it. It's like, let's say, I sell you something. I'm a good salesman on a used car lot, or maybe a new car lot, doesn't really matter. But I say to you, the buyer, I say, sir, you have me at your service all the time. The car will need fixing, something won't be right, the warranty is going to need someone to push in for it, insurance, whatever it is. I'm always there with you. I'm there to help you. That's not common. Maybe in the car business it is, I don't know. But it's not common with everything. But a lot of matters that you were told, I'm always going to be there for you. You got that computer, we're always going to be there with you to sell it. Maybe not all the way from a phone call in India, but we'll be there for you in some form or another. So that's what the Torah is to. And Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, Mocharti Lochem Torosi, I sold to you my Torah. Kaviyochel Nimkarti Ima. It's as if to say, when I sold you my Torah, I am sold with it. So that this, the Rashash says a very simple way. When you learn Torah, famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that 10 were sitting and learning Torah, the Shekhinah is with them, 3, even 2, even 1. So God is always there servicing us, just like the salesman I spoke about. He's always going to be there with us and for us, even if we might not need help with a certain piece of what we're learning. God's Shekhinah is there with us. So he sold us a Torah, so to speak, and he is sold with it. He's always there at our service. So v'yikhuli, it says shenemar, it says v'yikhuli truma. They will take to me a truma. Now, what does it mean to me? So Matnas Kuhuna says it's as if it would say osi. Kilu kosa v'yikhu osi. Yikhuli doesn't mean for me. It means you're buying me. Li is like osi. Me or to me is osi is me. Yeah, you could say that.
Which is rarely occurs in Biblical Hebrew. Like I wrote up there, but once in a while you have it picked up in Hebrew as well.
Mm-hmm. True. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's Yikuli Truma. Now, the Shekhinah dwells with us. Now we're going to see the connection of all of this to the truma, that when you're going to donate to the Mishkan, says Hashem, you're taking me also. That's going to be the projection. Lekach tov nosati lochem, right? I gave you a good sale. My Torah, you will not forsake, is going to be this Torah, first he says, is a special sale. It's unique, it's analogous, it includes the essence of silver and gold, plus the ability of creation of fields and vineyards. That's the Lekach Tov. And then it's such a sale that only from the middleman Moshe do we have some concept of what the Torah does for us. But then there's another time Hashem gives us a sale. He gives us the Torah, but he dwells with us, and that is manifest in the Mishkan. That's what we're coming to now. If we just backtrack and come forward, that's what the Midrash is leading up to, as we will see with this parable. Moshal Melech, this is a parable, an analogy to a king. Shehoi Solo Bas Yechida. He had an only daughter. One of the kings, actually a daughter, an only daughter of a king, can only marry another king. So a king comes and he marries her. And he's in the elderly king's home where the daughter is. What he wants to do is he wants to go home. I have a country, I have a land, I have an empire that I must govern. I have to go back to my people, but I'm not going back. I'm not going back with empty hands, without a wife. My wife has to go and live with me. That's the normal thing. Omar lo, so the father, the elderly king, who is the father of the girl, says to his new son-in-law, the king, Biti shenosati lecho yichidisi. My daughter that I gave you is my only one. It could be he means she's unique too, but she's for sure, physically, she's the only daughter he had, that we already said. So that's my whole flesh and blood. Lifrosh mimena eini yochel. To separate myself from her forever, I can't. I guess he didn't have a good deal on a flight there. So he says, to part from her, I can't. And obviously trips in those days took time. Lomar locho al titla eini yochel lefishihi ishtecha. So what am I going to tell you? Go yourself without your wife and leave her here. Das kene choichnisht, I can't do that either. She's your wife. That's immoral. How am I going to say go home and leave my daughter here? I mean, she's your wife. I can't do that either. So I'm in a bind. But I have a piece of advice. I have a suggestion. Ela zo tova aseli. The following kindness I want you to do for me. Shekol bokem she'ata holech, kiton echod aseli she'odr etzlechem, she'niyochel ani achaspiti. Any place you go, have a little cubicle, have a chamber made for me that can also be transported. That way I can live with you because I cannot leave my daughter. Now, we'll see how the analogy plays out now. But so far he says, even though you're going away, now, what's that cubicle going to do? The truth is, I'm not physically there. I'm that older king whose daughter is now married to you. You're going to make a cubicle for me in the middle of your trips to wherever, Yashikayach. What's that do for me? How is that a connection to me? Apparently, it symbolizes some connection that says that we've never really parted. So, says here the Midrash, Kach omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael. That's what Hashem says to Klal Yisrael. Nosati lochem es haTorah. I gave you the Torah. Lifro shemena eini yochel. For me to be separated from the Torah, I cannot. I mean, there are levels of Torah that he didn't give us, that they're all somehow encapsulated in our Torah, according to the Mekubalim. So Torah anyway remains in Shamayim, and it's somehow encapsulated in our Torah. But Hashem is saying, still it represents all the wisdom there is. So I can't separate from it. Lomar lochem al titlua eini yochel. To tell you don't take it, I can't. That's why I made a Torah. That's the world. And Klal Yisrael is all one entity with me and with the Torah. But what can I tell you to do? Bichol mokom sha'atem hoilchim. Wherever you go, i.e. in the desert, and then there's a Beis HaMikdash eventually in Eretz Yisrael. Bayis echod asuli she'odir b'seichai. You could make for me a little house, a building, an edifice, that I will live in it. As it says, v'asuli mikdash, they will make for me a mikdash. So the li, for me, a mikdash, means they will make for me a mikdash, meaning the mikdash will be for me to be among them. That's basically what it says over here. And what I wanted to say here, a pshat once I wrote on the side of my midrash, that it's very possible, and it's actually happened, it's a simple thing, but it's happened and it's a light thing, that when time goes by, even people who should know better, would look at the Torah as a great wisdom, but independent of godliness. a lot of what they call today, and I don't mean this is a shot at anybody, but it's a type of it's a sophisticated scholarship, but without a connection to godliness, they don't take. I mean, you know, to us, our great people are you see the Shechina rests on them, but some people look at the wisdom of Torah there is something that is independent of the godliness. So in order to prevent that from happening, that's maybe what shuls are today, but you need a mishkan where the Shechina is manifest, and that always connects us with the godliness. So it comes out, the mishkan really is there to fortify that Torah should remain with an absolute purity and not with other things in it. And with that, I just wrote in short, because I'm only writing on the margin, there's enough explanation here for the Midrash. And I wrote I'd be lengthy about it some other place, which I'm not sure if I was or not. But in any case, what basically comes out over here is, it means if Hashem is not, and this would be even similar to the example that I had of the man who sells the car. He says, I'm going to be with you, because he knows there's always going to be a problem. There's a wear and tear. And he'll be there to make sure that the wear doesn't tear and that it can be mended, it can be repaired. So here, Hashem remains with us in Torah so that when we have that feeling that God is among us, we're not going to veer off course. That's basically what the message is, according to my opinion. Yes.
Is it possible they're also darkening the safe of the verse B'shochan Tiv B'socha, because the Moshal says Kito Echad Aseh L'Shador Eslachem.
Yes.
And so on. So then the end is up with Namor.
Okay. Well, on that point, there's a midrash later that says v'shachanti b'socham, I will dwell among them. So the midrash says b'socho lo ne'amar ella b'socham b'socho shel kol echad ve'echad, that it says they'll make me the mikdash and I'll dwell among them. Why didn't it say I will dwell in it? They're making me a mikdash, so I'll dwell in it. So what it means is, I mean, that's the continuation. By me being there, I'm with them all the time. I'm in the interior of everyone. The Chafetz Chaim in his Torah Sabayis, a little safer about the importance that even if we're learning with set times, when we have more time at home, we should continue to learn. He wrote a small safer called Torah Sabayis. So in Torah Sabayis, he says the following, and then he says, maybe that's what that other midrash of Besocham, Besocho lo namar, but Besocham means. So he said like this, he said, you take a piece of animal skin, you are ma'abed it, you develop it to make it ready to be either parchment or for a tefillin batim or for straps. And you say Lashem Kodesh. That changes. It takes what was an animal and it elevates it in Kedusha. So he said, when we do mitzvahs ourselves, learning Torah, other mitzvahs, how much more so when we had a better head start than the piece of animal skin, how much more so should it bring Kedusha into us? So then in parentheses there he writes, maybe that's what Chazal mean also with the Midrash, that it doesn't say I will dwell in it, in the Mishkan, but it says I will dwell among them, and it means Besocho shel kol echad ve'echad. It means that by our learning and doing the mitzvah, Hashem is dwelling inside of each of us. Okay, call to heaven.